Lord, we're glad that the message of the gospel never gets old for those of us who know Christ as Savior. And we're thankful for the opportunities we have to share the gospel with others. And we pray, Father, that you would give us your insight and your understanding when you create opportunities for us to tell people about the Lord. We pray that we would trust you for the words and the wisdom, and that we would leave the results with you as well. You tell us to go and give the gospel, and you take care of the saving part. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd help us. As we look now at the Word, we pray that we'll learn from it, God, and we're thankful that for those of us who know Christ as Savior, these truths that we'll look at don't apply to us, and we give you glory and praise for that. So it's in Christ's name we ask this and pray. Amen. Be seated. Let's take our Bibles. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we looked at Psalm 1 last week, the first three verses. I want to look at the last three verses this afternoon. Now, this first psalm, as you go through it, if you think about how it's laid out, there's a comparison between the saved, the unsaved, the godly, the ungodly, and it will give you a summary outline of how this whole book's going to unfold, as there will be many passages where the psalmist will talk about the relationship of the righteous. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he'll talk about that. Through this book, he'll talk about how that plays out, how it looks. He'll talk about how he himself has done this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And again, he will reiterate this through the book. The longest chapter in the book, 119th Psalm, is dedicated entirely to the Word of God. That's the theme of that one chapter. And so he will talk about this. He will reiterate this. How one delights in the law, what it looks like, the emotional side of it, the relational side of it, the closeness it brings one to God. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And again, he will talk about this. He will talk about what it's like to have one's hope in the Lord and the stability that it brings, and the encouragement that we find in God, and the shelter we find in the Lord, the protection we find in the Lord, and how that produces fruit and allows us to see change take place in our lives. So he will talk about that in the book. He'll also talk about the last three verses of the chapter. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And he will talk about that. He will talk about the contrast between the godly and the ungodly. He will talk about the instability of the ungodly. He will talk about the judgment that they are going to experience in time. He'll even pray at times for God's judgment on the ungodly in this book. And he will talk about how God knows the way of the righteous and how the way of the ungodly is going to perish. So this chapter gives us a summary outline of what he's going to talk about in the next 100 and some chapters. So let's look at our outline. First of all, point one, he addresses verse 4 by beginning the statement with the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. What? A, they're not blessed. They're not blessed. Oh, they may think they are. They may live as though they are. They may be successful in the world's eye. They may know how to make money. They may know how to live well in the world. But by God's word, they're not blessed. They're not blessed. You see, temporary blessing that the world gives doesn't last. Blessing that God gives is eternal. We may not get much here, and we may get a whole lot here. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get it all. We're going to get it all. Because because we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We'll be in an eternal state of perfection with Him. We will know Him as we are known. We'll be like Him. And all the beauty and the unimaginable great things that are going to transpire when we get to heaven. We'll be blessed. But the ungodly are not so. They're not blessed. Why aren't they blessed? One, because they are the counsel of the ungodly. They are the ones talking ungodly ways and drawing ungodly conclusions. Two, they make up the way of the sinner. They are the sinner. They are the one making up that way. Three, they love to sit in the seat of scorning judgmental. They love to do that. If you don't believe that, just watch MSNBC. Four, they hate the Word of God and they ignore it. They hate it. If you don't believe that, just watch some other TV station that gives you the news. You'll find out quickly that one of the things that is hated is God's Word. They're not blessed because they are a tree destined for destruction. Oh, they may be strong and stable in the world's environment now, but the time's going to come when God's going to cut them off at the root, and they will be destroyed. And I don't say that with great anticipation. I regret to have to say that, but it's going to happen. For those who know not Christ, that day of judgment is going to come. So they're not blessed because all they are and all they do, God cannot bless that and will not bless that. So they are not blessed, and B, they will not see the blessing of God on their life and practices. They may see the blessing of Satan. They may see the blessing of the world. They may know how to live in the world by the world's standards and the world's methods. And as you look at them, they may look like they are really blessed. But the Bible says they are not so. They are not blessed. And therefore, we must, as believers, believe what the Bible says, even though our eyes may be telling us something else. Because sometimes our eyes can cause us to see something that's really not there. But what we know with our mind about the truth of God's Word is always stable. So the ungodly are not so. Secondly, the ungodly are. What are they? A, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. We lived in the Midwest for 21 years, and they have a lot of big farms out there. They don't ask you how many acres you farm. They ask you how many sections you farm. And a section is a square mile, 640 acres. And that's how they grow their crops. And it's big farming, and big industry owns many of those farms. And you watch them when they're harvesting the crops and the combines are going through the field, cutting the crops, the corn, the wheat, whatever it may be. And you'll see all this nasty stuff coming out the back end of that combine. It's dusty. It's nasty. It goes on the ground. And it's just there. It lays there. That's the chaff. It's the chaff. And so that chaff is like the ungodly. God will deal with them and discard them because they rejected His Son, Jesus Christ. God gives men and women, boys and girls, ample opportunity and ample time to come to Christ. He gives them all the witness they need to draw them to the Lord. There's not one person that will stand before God and say, I never had an opportunity to be saved. Not one. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, they can see the witness of God in the creation. And when one responds to the witness that God gives another witness. And when they respond, another witness, and will draw them to Himself. But the ungodly reject all of those witnesses. They reject the truth. They reject Jesus Christ. And therefore, the day will come when they stand before the Lord and are judged, they'll be like the chaff. The chaff is the refuse left behind after the wheat or some other crop has been removed. The good grain is taken and the debris is left behind. It's driven by the wind, point two. It has no dependability. As it blows the direction the wind happens to be blowing, there's no value to it. None. The only thing you can do with the chaff is just turn it under. Turn it under, let it decay, destroy, and start all over. And once the farmer goes through that field and turns that field over again, you don't even know the chaff was ever there. But when they're harvesting the crop, it's really nasty. If you've ever done any pheasant hunting in a cut down cornfield, there's a lot of stuff you have to walk through to hunt the pheasant. That's the chaff. The chaff. It's driven by the wind. There's no dependability. B, it's only present for a short time and then it's gone. You know, the ungodly, one of the Psalms talks about it. David says, I looked at the ungodly and how they were prospering and how successful they were, and I scratched my head. I'm paraphrasing, of course. This is Ron's translation. I scratched my head and said, what's going on here, God? And then God reminded me, this is all they have. This is all they have. When they die without Christ, they have an eternity of destruction. And so they're here for a short period of time, and then they're gone, like the chaff. And see, once separated from the grain, it has no value. Has no value. While it's connected to the grain, it will provide a bit of protection for that grain. But when it's done its job, it's removed. God uses the unsaved often to help the saved. God often will use lost people to minister to the needs of saved people. But even though they do those good things and those nice things, there's still no hope for them because they've rejected Christ as Savior. The one thing that could change their eternity forever, trusting Jesus, they refuse to do. Therefore, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. We see that the ungodly are, B, not going to be able to stand before God in the judgment. They're not going to stand before God. They're not going to be able to. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The ungodly will not be able to stand before God in the judgment. They'll have no arguments. They'll have no case to present. There'll be no good deeds that they can bring forth. Say, but look, God, this is what I did. Jesus addresses that in a passage of Scripture. But we see here the ungodly are not going to be able to stand before God in the judgment. You know what? We will. We will stand with God in the judgment. We will be at this judgment. But we will not be judged. This is the judgment for the lost, the great white throne judgment. We will stand before the Lord. We looked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll stand before the Lord to be rewarded for that which we have done. Our judgment has already been taken care of. We will never stand before God to be judged. That was taken care of at Calvary. And when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, that fear was once and for all removed. At least it should have been. If it hasn't, you ought to remove it. We don't have to fear that. We will be rewarded for the things which we have done. And of course, we will lose rewards for the things we have not done. But it will not be a time of judgment of us. That was taken care of. And when we stand before God to be rewarded, we will stand there in Jesus Christ. And so we will be able to stand before God because we have placed our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. So don't ever forget that it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about us. So we see they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. They're not going to be able to stand before God in the judgment. And see, they're not going to be found among the righteous. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we see here those who are ungodly, who reject the truth of the Scripture, who reject the Christ of the Scripture, have nothing to stand on. And even though they may be building a fortress, it's not built on the rock. And it's not going to stand. And in the day when it's going to count the most, they're going to have nothing to stand on. Nothing. Because they've rejected Jesus Christ. They're not going to be found among the righteous. So what do we see? Point three is a summary of this chapter. Verse 6, the Lord knows all. The Lord knows all. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. If he knows the way of the righteous, he also knows the way of the unrighteous. The Lord knows all. B, the Lord knows the righteous. And C, God knows the ungodly will perish. Last week, we looked at these first three verses. We saw the stability of this one who has their trust in the Lord, the righteous. We saw how they can withstand difficulty. They can withstand drought. They're going to be producing the fruit that God created them to produce. They're stable. They're dependable. They're going to be there through thick and thin, and they're going to prosper. But the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. There's a lot of ungodly outside these doors. A lot of ungodly. Maybe you work with some ungodly. Maybe you live beside some ungodly. Maybe you'll meet an ungodly person in a grocery store. Maybe the clerk. And I call them ungodly because the Scripture calls them ungodly. An ungodly person is somebody who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior. They might be a really nice person, but they're unsaved. And there's going to be a lot of them that we will come in contact with. Take the opportunities that God gives you. There's tracts out here in the rack. Take them. Use them. Give them out. We can get more. We've got more. Let people know that Jesus saves. Because if they don't get saved, they will not stand in the judgment. Help us, Lord, that we would be people with a message and a burden to give it, that we would take the opportunities you give us and we would trust you to give us the ability to speak or to share a tract. You'd give us the ability to have the boldness that we need, the words that we need to say, and that we would trust you with the results after we've given the witness. Lord, we know you use all kinds of witnesses. You use strong, positive, vibrant witnesses, and you use weak, scared-to-death witnesses. It's the witness that we're giving that counts, not our boldness or our timidity. And so I pray that you would help each of us, Father, as you give us those opportunities to take them to be a witness for Christ. Because, Lord, one day the ungodly are not going to be so. And we would desire that the ungodly would come to Christ as we did so that they could be blessed as we are. Keep us this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.